You want to, how do you get a healthy Mark? Being awake. So you're not going to be awake eating a high-fat mashed potatoes with a high-fat gravy with a fatty beef stew. You got to have your nutrients to get those good Marks. The university is a teaching living laboratory, right? Why shouldn't food in the kitchen be like that? We should be teaching them how to eat properly and healthy. And the end result is they get better Marks. There's a population that will take over when the rest of us are gone.
Steve's passion left me curious as to what other people are doing for children's health. This led me to Greg Chan. Greg is a pediatric dentist with a love for kids and food. His job allows him to see firsthand the increasing numbers of childhood obesity.
You know, there's nothing really good for kids out there. I should create a television show for kids about food and teach them cooking.
That is when the idea of Super Chefs of the Universe began. Greg is working hard to make the TV show a reality. In the meantime, Super Chefs has become a nonprofit living laboratory that uses farm and ocean fresh food to promote healthy eating to children. But Super Chefs is much more than that.
Super Chefs is many things. It does have an animated aspect to get to the kids as young as four. So there's animated characters, and I wanted to engage them. But it's also a live cooking project as well, where we get kids right into the kitchen, because kids around 8 to 11 are a great age to get at in the kitchen, and they're able to engage in the kitchen with the culinary professionals that I have working with us. So the project has some animation, and it has live action characters as well that show off the circus skills. So it's meant to be a property to appeal to all kids from ages 4 to 11, which is the most important, because studies have shown you have to get to kids before age 12. Otherwise, their lifestyle isn't really going to change significantly. So it's those early years that are really important to promote a healthy lifestyle.
Super Chefs now has a core group of kids that have hosted several events. I wanted to know how the children have responded to the program and what changes Greg has seen in their attitudes towards eating.
They absolutely love the program. One of them has put classes on in their own school where they've done a salad and soup demo and taught the kids and told them about the program. And she put on her Super Chef's jacket that she had earned and became an ambassador for us. A couple of other ones have done block parties where they've done cooking demos. One of the children, he has lost 30 pounds in 1 year in being in the program. And many of them are just anxious to keep on continuing being mentors, which is something that I find really important for them to do, be able to do.
Speaking with Steve and Greg, I saw that children are open to healthy eating if given the chance. Still, as Gwen points out, there are many challenges.
Good morning and welcome everybody to a very special day of programming here. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM, Vancouver. We are on UBC campus And this is the first ever, the inaugural 24 hours of student power. All day today, starting, we started at midnight, going to be playing all student programming. We've got a bunch of different clubs coming in, groups around campus coming in to promote their stuff. Super exciting. You were just listening to recordings from a course in land and food systems, which is taught by CITR's very own Duncan McHugh. He, of course, does Dunkin' Donuts Thursdays here at the station, and is teaching this course about digital communication in agriculture, and had a bunch of his students' clips there of their projects that they're working on. So that was really great. But about now, I've got a few guests that I'm expecting today, and we already have our first group here in studio. They are the UBC Birding Club. And so I'm going to just go ahead and turn it over to these guys. They can introduce themselves, and they've got a little write-up that they're here to present. So
a duck walked into the bar and asked for a drink. The bartender asked if he wanted to pay by cash or credit. The duck replied, "Just put it on my bill." Hi, I'm Jasper, and I'm the president of the UBC Birding Club. First of all, I would like to thank CITR for inviting us in to talk about our club. And some people have sent us some questions about birding, and we will answer them here. With me today are...
Hi, I'm Robert, and I'm the vice president of the club. Unable to join us today are Kevin, our public relations director, Lisa, our treasurer, and Shirley, our web and graphics designer.
First of all, what is birding? Well, birding is the identification of various species of birds through visual features or bird calls. We formed the UBC Birding Club last summer because we all knew students who were interested in birding or simply wanted to learn more about birds. We decided to make the club at UBC because we wanted to break the stereotype of birding being an activity for the older demographic and get more younger students involved in birding. I'll share my personal story of how I got involved. Like most young people, I thought birdwatching would be boring and slow, but once I learned about the basic species of birds here in Vancouver and actually went outdoors to try it, I actually found the experience extremely rewarding and fun. It was rewarding because of the various bird species that you might encounter outside, and I used to just think of birds as one thing, not as various species. And whenever I saw a bird outside, I'd be like, "Oh, that's just another bird." But nowadays, I pay attention to the birds around me all the time, and I believe the most important factor for me was simply trying it out. And as a result, I realized the amount of fun that I was missing out on. And I believe there are other students at UBC who will find themselves hooked after one birding session.
Okay. Myself, I became hooked with birding over a year ago when I started volunteering with the Stanley Park Ecology Society. What drew me in was getting to know more about something that you experience every day. Since I'm pretty sure everyone listening sees birds every day, like, throughout their daily routine, if it's just the pigeons outside the sub. Photography is one of my hobbies, and birds are a great subject for photos, so that really got me interested in birding, too. And now, anytime I hear a bird call that I don't know, it's almost like a game for me to figure out which bird that came from. And another question that we often get asked is what equipment you need for birding. The most basic answer is that you only need your eyes and ears, but a good investment would be a bird field guide and a pair of binoculars. A field guide is a book that shows how to identify different bird species. There are pictures, size descriptions, location information, and so on. Some features you can use to identify birds include their flight pattern, body shape, beak shape, and the colors on the different parts of the birds. For example, woodpeckers have a really sharp and long bill. There are actually really easy ways to remember these features. For example, for a woodpecker, they have really long bills to eat bugs under the bark.
So another question is, what kind of events does your club run? Well, our club organizes monthly birdwatching trips around various Metro Vancouver nature sites, such as Stanley Park, the Maplewood Flats in North Vancouver, and the very famous George C. Rifle Migratory Bird Sanctuary over in Delta. If you like taking beautiful nature photos, this is also a great opportunity to go outside and take some beautiful shots of birds and landscape. We also lend binoculars and spotting scopes to our members during the events, so you don't have to worry about the cost of those things. One of the most fun things I've done is feeding birds at the Rifle Migratory Bird Sanctuary, especially the little chickadees, which come onto your hand and eat your seeds. But please do not feed wild birds elsewhere, because it makes them dependent on humans. You can see some pictures of our events from our website, ubcbirdingclub.wordpress.com, or the UBC Birding Club Facebook page.
Now, we have a really enthusiastic member of our club, Vivian, to share her experience with the UBC Birding Club today. Vivian, it's all yours.
Hi, thanks. I'm Vivian, and I'm a very proud member of the UBC Birding Club. I'm here to just kind of go over my experience with the club so far. So, as a member of the Birding Club, obviously, I'm a bit of a bird nut. But before I joined the club, ironically, my experience with birding was very, very limited. I knew very little about bird species and bird identification. All the birds, like the vireos and the songbirds and all the tiny birds below 6 inches, they all look the same to me. So my experience with birds was very limited to, let's see, pigeons. I fed pigeons all the time. I looking at seagulls, sneaking up on crows, not very exciting, boring stuff. Really want to stretch my horizons and really want to exercise my passion for birds. And I wasn't really in good company for that either, because most of my friends weren't really into birds, not as much as I was. They were kind of more focused on what the bird pooped rather than the birds themselves. So I was really looking for a way to exercise my passion. Didn't really know where to start. As of the beginning of second year, though, so last semester, woe and behold, there it was. Newly formed UBC Birding Club. I was like, sweet, this is totally up my alley. Didn't really know what to expect. Didn't really know what to think of it. I was ecstatic that it existed. That was all there was. And I also really appreciate the free Angry Bird keychain that came with the dirt cheap $5 membership fee. So, our first birding experience, actual birding experience, was at Stanley Park. So, I knew I brought the wrong equipment the first time I went birding, because I was lugging a rock-heavy binoculars and rock-heavy camera, and not the best stuff to take with you to birding. But we saw a lot of cool stuff there. We saw our first attraction was a 6-foot-long eagle's nest, bald eagles, really cool, in the far distance. We came across some pretty plain birds like pigeons and mallards, but we also came across some cool birds that you wouldn't have otherwise noticed if you didn't have so many eyes with you. So like cormorant, blue heron, the swans were kind of hard to miss. The bald eagle that was sitting in the log in the far distance, as it turned out, it just finished off a seagull, would have definitely missed that. It was really, really fun, and I learned a lot during that experience. I wish I had the Darren Irwin lecture before I went to Stanley Park. Otherwise, I would have learned better how to go about birding. Such as, one thing I didn't know about birding was that you actually listen more than you see the birds, and also all the equipment that you see with that. So even though that was really cool, we didn't see half as many birds as when we went to Rifle Bird Sanctuary. So at Rifle, it was in the middle of November when we went. It was freezing cold, but so worth it. The first minute you go into Rifle, the first thing you see is all the mallard ducks. If you didn't look closer, you'd think there were only mallard ducks, because there were just so many of them. You drop some seeds at your feet, and they'd be all over your feet, and you'll get a little ducky massage on your feet. If you look closer in the horde of ducks, though, you'll see a lot of variety of birds. Like, let's see, what are there? So we saw some pintails that were American coots. So you'll notice these guys immediately because they look kind of devilish. They kind of have a black body, red eyes, and yellow dinosaur feet. But they are so cute. They make sounds like squeaky toys. There were also like some really cool hooded mergansers, American wigeons, all sorts of stuff. It was really exciting for me, and more so because now I know there's more waterfowl than mallard ducks around here. One of the most memorable experiences in Rifle were two things, actually. So there were the sandhill cranes and the black-capped chickadees. So the black-capped chickadees, they're kind of a favorite with birders and with me, too, because they're so cute. But they also have a really bold personality. So you hold up with your hands some black oily sunflower seeds and make sure you're not standing next to a feeder, because they'll definitely choose you over the feeder. But you wait a bit, and they'll just kind of land on your fingers. And it's so cute. They're really small. They're like 4 or 5 inches at the most. So they'll just kind of clutch on the tip of your fingers, and they kind of feel like a little feather. Very, very cute. Very, very memorable experience for me. It was the first time coming into this close contact with a songbird. So I was really, really happy. The sandhill cranes were another amazing species. So these guys, 4 feet tall, when they look at you, they kind of turn to the sides, and you get a good look at their really long, sharp bill. As far as birds goes, these are huge. So when we were actually going there, there were a family of sandhill cranes. It was their breeding season. We ended up being able to feed them too, even though it kind of hurt when they picked your hand. It was so worth it, though. Also, one of the best things that I got from this club was actually having lots of people to share my passion with. So, I learn a lot, and I really, really look forward to continuing to be in this club and having more people to share my passion with, making more friends, and continuing to broaden my horizons with birding. So birding experiences never end. So I'm having so much fun. Thank you so much, Jasper. And you guys can continue.
So thank you, Vivian. And next we'll talk about some of the birds that you might see in Vancouver. So I'm sure most of you already know what crows, gulls, pigeons look like. But some of the more interesting ones we want to highlight today are chickadees, bald eagles, and great blue herons. So Vivian earlier talked about the chickadees and that they were her favorite birds. And they're also my favorite birds as well, because they're just so adorable. And chances are you've probably seen or heard them before, and this is what their call sounds like. So that call is actually during the spring when they mate, and they try to call to attract the female, to attract the other sex. And contrary to popular belief, I'll also talk about the bald eagle, and they actually don't sound like red-tailed hawks. And red-tailed hawks are the typical call that you hear in Western cowboy movies. In fact, the bald eagles, they sound much more, at first when I heard the call, I was like, there's no way this is a bald eagle, because it just doesn't match the physical profile of the bird, the fierce image that you have of it. And that was a seagull. So another interesting bird that you can actually find at UBC is the great blue heron. These are enormous birds with a wingspan of 6 feet and a length of around 4 feet. They fly with their necks tucked in a unique S shape. And you've probably seen them near the Rose Garden flying along the water bodies. And you can actually see colonies of great blue herons in Stanley Park and UBC. A colony of great blue heron nests is known as a heronry. And in UBC, they can be found near the Asian Center. And you can email us for more details on the location if you're interested in seeing the herons. So for me, remembering what a bird sounds like was one of the toughest aspects of birding. And oftentimes, you remember the call, but you can't associate the bird with it. There are mnemonics which you can use to help remember bird calls. For example, the following is a call of a barred owl. An owl which can be found in Vancouver. There was actually a huge gathering of people at UBC in the Woodward building just last year who were observing a barred owl that was sleeping on a tree. And here's their sound. So So if you're trying to remember this just by trying to remember the sound, it might be difficult for you. But once I was taught a mnemonic for it, it was much easier. So the mnemonic goes, who cooks for you, who cooks for you all? Who cooks for you, who cooks for you all? It was much easier for me to remember the call after that. Try it yourself right now. And now for another joke. What do you call a crate of ducks? A box of quackers.
Another common question that we get is, what are good places for birding? Stanley Park is a great place for beginner birders because there are a lot of waterfowl, such as ducks and geese. As well, there are less common birds such as bald eagles, great blue herons, and woodpeckers. Because Stanley Park has both freshwater and saltwater bodies, it's a good place to see a huge variety of birds. And another very good place that our club went to was the Rifle Migratory Bird Sanctuary in Delta. I've been there once in the summer and winter, and both times were extremely rewarding since I saw many birds that you can't find anywhere else in the lower mainland, such as sandhill cranes, black-crowned night herons, and so on. If you're interested in what these birds are, you can join our club. And another fun thing you can do at Rifle is, as Vivian mentioned, feeding the birds. It's a really great way to get up close with birds. And finally, the Beatty Biodiversity Museum, the one at UBC with a big whale skeleton, also has a birding bonanza, an ongoing activity from now to May 25th. The museum will have many bird-related displays and activities during this time, including a Birding for Beginners event at 12:45 every day, except Mondays when the museum is closed. And for those that are really, really interested in birding, there is a course on the study of birds taught by Dr. Darren Irwin, one of our sponsors for the UBC Birding Club. You will learn to identify 165 species of birds, and some topics discussed in that class include bird ecology, bird evolution, bird physiology, bird behavior, and conservation. The course ID is Bio 427 for anyone that's interested.
So you can get in touch or learn more about our club either by emailing us at ubcbirdingclub@gmail.com, through our website ubcbirdingclub.wordpress.com, or through our UBC Birding Club Facebook page at facebook.com/UBC Birding Club. Anyone is welcome, whether you are a beginner or an experienced birder. And today we are doing a giveaway for listeners. The first UBC student to like our Facebook page after the show will win an awesome bird-related prize. And thank you.
Thank you.
Great. Thanks so much, you guys, for coming in and sharing a lot of info about your club. That was, again, the UBC Birding Club. Go to their Facebook page, like it. They've got a prize for you. And, yeah, get involved if you're interested. So we will be right back at about 8:30 or so. We're expecting the Mental Health Awareness Society. And so that should be also very interesting. And, again, thanks a lot to the UBC Birding Club.
UBC Bookstore is having a student appreciation sale March 14th, their way of saying thanks for all your support this past academic year. There will be snacks, DJs, and karaoke. Oh yeah, and discounts too. 25% off giftware, clothing, and stationery, 10% off computer accessories, and 20% off all general books. Visit the main store from 9:30 a.m. to 6 p.m. or the solder store from 10 to 5. UBC Bookstore, where your purchases support your UBC campus.
Listen, if they're so hot, how come they're not tearing up the charts, babe?
Because you never play them, babe.
At CITR, our hosts choose the music they play. That means our charts actually reflect the tastes of music lovers, as opposed to focus groups. So if you want to know what's really tearing up the charts, get your hands on a copy of Beatroot or Discorder magazine, or go online to CITR.ca. CITR's charts are based on actual spins motivated by actual preference. No payola, no marketing, just good tunes. Refreshing, no?
Hey, into darkness. It was drinking from your cup. I caught the darkness. Drinking from your cup. I said, is this contagious? She said, just drink it up. I've got no future. I know my days are few. The present's not that pleasant. Just a lot of things to do. I thought the past would last me, but the darkness got that too.
Were they good?
All right.
Who else they were bad?
All right, welcome back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM Vancouver. This is, of course, the first ever 24 hours of student power. All day today, you're going to be hearing special student programming. We've got a bunch of different groups coming in. You just heard the UBC Birding Club, gave a little talk and told some jokes, played some bird calls. It was interesting. And right now, we have the UBC Mental Health Awareness Society.
Mental Health Awareness Club. Yeah.
All right. There we go.
UBC.
So, you guys want to introduce yourself and just tell us a little bit about yourselves?
Of course. So, I am Cassie, and I'm here with the vivacious Victor Tang.
That's my name for today. Yeah. My name is Victor, and we're here to represent the UBC Mental Health Awareness Club.
That's right. So good morning to the greater Vancouver area. Our potential 2 million listeners from here to Bellingham, I believe.
Yeah, all the way there. So we're going to give a little introduction about our club, first of all. So the UBC Mental Awareness Club, Mental Health Awareness Club, is the name of this club on campus. We're dedicated to promoting mental health events on campus. So our events are... to promote awareness, to promote education, discussion, learning on issues in mental health.
Yeah, that's right. So we sort of try to put on these advocacy events and just generally raising awareness about mental health issues and mental being, you know, more or less mentally healthy on campus.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
So some of the main goals of our club is first to, again, increase awareness on campus of mental health issues. So a lot of topics about mental health, mental illness, and things of that nature are, you know, not as well talked about or well understood, and there's a lot of misconceptions about those topics. So we host like educational campaigns and stuff just to
reduce stigma.
Get the message out there. Yes, reduce stigmas. That is our second major goal.
And right before we kind of just jump into things, we'd like to give a couple shout outs. So one being to Andrea Jones at the Neurobiology of Psychosis Journal Club, who we are missing her presentation this morning. And another shout out to Cubicle 9.
Yeah,
at
Cubicle 9.
BC Mental Health and Addictions Research Institute.
Right, yeah, so we were gonna... Sorry, I jumped ahead. We were gonna talk about ourselves a little bit. That was pretty much the most important part.
Why don't you go for it? Yeah. Why don't you start?
So my name is Victor, and I'm a graduate student in neuroscience here at UBC. I work in the Department of Psychiatry, so we do research on the neurobiology of psychiatric disorders. My lab focuses on molecular mechanisms of bipolar disorder. I work at BC Mental Health Addiction Services, too. And
that's right, yeah. He's at Workstation 2, I believe, and mine's 3, so we're sort of like, as my good friend calls it, battleship partners or battleship buddies.
Oh, I never heard that.
Yeah, it's a good one. Hey, I know.
We have a coworker who works in Cubicle 9, and he's just hilarious.
Yeah, he's the greatest, really. And yeah, so I'm Cassie, and I do brain imaging in fringe populations. And that's pretty much...
She looks at pictures of brains on her computer. It looks really fancy, and she circles all the important parts.
Yeah, that's
parts
right.
That are going wrong.
Welcome to grad school, everyone. Yeah.
You're a grad student, too.
Yeah, that's right. I'm circling stuff on.
We should have brought some stuff, too. Like, the previous group brought bird calls.
Yeah, they had.
Actually, we do have something. We're going to do a text in radio contest. The first people to text to the number 778-558-0088 will get a MHAC package.
Yes, this is a MHAC promotional package. You will get one t-shirt of your size. One.
Yeah, don't forget to include your size in the text message.
Yeah, the size of your t-shirt, you get
A three-pronged highlighter.
And you get a button, a bookmark. You get a poster. How about that?
And we'll throw in a poster, and we'll also throw in one of those nifty packs of highlighter sticky notes.
Yeah. Oh, and an autographed picture of each of us.
Yeah, that's right. You'll get an autographed picture of me, Victor.
So that number again is...
778-558-0088. Once again, 778-558-0088. The first 3 text messages I receive with your name and your address, we will mail you the MHAC package.
I will deliver it to you.
Yeah, Victor will.
If you tell me where you are and you're like local.
Yeah.
No Bellingham people. I'm not giving you anything. Local people.
Or Squamish. Yeah, sorry guys. Yeah.
So, yeah, we were here to talk about something. Right?
I'll mail it to you. Never mind. Just text in. We want to know that people are listening or something. So, we were going to also talk about maybe a little bit of the history of the club.
Yes.
Seeing as you did such a great job explaining what we do.
Okay, so I'm going to talk about the history. Is that okay? Yeah.
That's great.
Okay.
Sounds good.
So, if you guys haven't heard of us before, it's because we're a relatively new club. We've been around for about 3 years. And it started a couple of years ago, 3 years ago, within the occupational therapy department. So a bunch of students got together. No, actually, this started as an assignment in one of the OT classes, which was to think up of some sort of mental health initiative on campus. And people were coming in with ideas, and they're handing them in. And Michael Lee, the faculty that teaches that course, thought, well, some of these are good ideas. Why don't we actually put it into fruition? And so he got a bunch of students together and they started the club, and it was basically just to raise awareness and like do educational events and like fundraising and that stuff on campus. And that was the first couple of years. And so for the longest time it stayed within like the OT and like the health professions community, like all the nursing students and physiotherapy students and such. But it has since broken out into the greater UBC community.
That's right.
Most of it through this year, because they got a lot of execs that aren't on OT, like us, and a lot of undergrads.
Yeah, we have quite the mailing list now. We used to require that you sign the mailing list to acquire one of our three-pronged highlighters, but we have a lot left, so come visit us.
Yeah.
Come visit us on Thursday, actually, at 5 o'clock in the Dodson Room of Irvin K. Barber. Oh, it's Wednesday?
Yeah.
Okay, Wednesday. Are you sure?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, he's right. Wednesday in the Irvin K. Barber Dodson Room, we are doing a documentary night, and we are featuring Bevel Up. So This is a 45-minute documentary about drug use and outreach nursing on the downtown East End. And yeah, should be good times, and there will be food. And it's free. Everyone likes free. Oh, and we'll have the highlighters there.
Yeah. We have too many highlighters, people. I just give them out. I throw them at people, like people that I don't like.
Yeah. Yeah. Join our club.
I just need to get rid of them.
Yeah, I know what you mean. Anyway, so we can also kind of like talk a little bit about some of the things we have done before.
Events.
Yeah, the events we've held this year. And so back in September, was it October? I can't.
October.
It was October. We did an event for sort of suicide awareness. We had Ferris Atkinson come in and talk a little bit about her experiences with it and how to sort of help people in situations where they might need someone to talk to or someone to reach out to if they're kind of distressed or if they're at risk for maybe hurting themselves. And it was fairly good turnout. And
that was a blowout event.
It was what?
A blowout event.
Yeah, it was definitely the first one.
We're
it was
a really popular club. A lot of people like us. The next event that we did was, okay, so I'm actually pretty excited to talk about this. We had a speaker series featuring people from the Lowdown, and this is a speakers bureau of people that suffer from mental illness, and they go around Lower Mainland doing talks, and they talk about their personal stories and their personal experiences with mental illness and how they confronted stigma and, you know, how they dealt with their illness and what kind of resources they accessed. And hearing it from a first-person perspective was very good. So we actually had three people, and they talked for like 20 minutes.
Yeah, they all had different experiences with different sort of they had their own, you know, personal experience with different mental health issues, and it was actually really great.
So they speak a lot at like different schools and community centers and mm-hmm. events and stuff like that. So if you want to get a speaker that talks about mental illness, get the Lowdown. Their website is confrontingstigma.com.
Yeah.
I don't know why their website's different from their name.
Yeah.
They're called the Lowdown, though, and I have a couple of good friends on it, and they also work with me on other mental health stuff on campus. So, yeah, those are my homies.
Yeah. They're good humans. So we also did a Portrayals of Madness event for, was it Thrive Week? Or
it was Thrive Week.
It was Thrive Week. Good. I'm glad I got that right. And so that was sort of this, we spliced together different portrayals in in movie and media depicting mental health. So what was one example? It was wasn't it Jim Carrey going crazy in something, or like that was that was the humorous relief, I guess. Anyways, we had
a lot of stuff. Like,
yeah, there
Donnie
was
Darko and
Donnie Darko,
Sunshine
yeah.
And Sponsor.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
They were just like these little clips, but
yeah, it was a Miss Little Miss Sunshine, is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, when the brother kind of goes, yeah, yeah, kind of like.
Flies
out
the head. Like when the little girl was at the dinner table and she was asking what happened to the uncle, and he tried to commit suicide.
Oh, okay.
It was quite humorous for those of you
who weren't there.
The
there was also great discussion afterwards. So, yeah, and there was also something we did with Michael Lee, again, who's our kind of faculty, ally. He did auditory hallucinations awareness, which was kind of an interesting event. So we put that on. And like I said, the upcoming one, that's kind of the big one we're trying to really push now, is the Bevel Up. And another one is the careers in mental health.
Oh, I gotta talk about that. It's my turn. Okay, next week on the 21st of Wednesday, and we need all you guys to come out to this because it's going to be cool. It's going to be a careers in mental health event. So we're basically getting speakers to come talk about their professions. So you got people from medicine, nursing, social work, psychology, counseling, just everything, and they're going to talk a little bit about, you know, the scope of their practice, how you can get into their programs, what kind of job personality or talents that would be beneficial, things like that, and you know, walking through their day to day and answering a lot of questions. So we'll have like an open Q&A and discussion panel at the end, just talking about all the options that are out there if you're interested in, you know, working in the mental health field. So we got a lot of people in our club, and I don't know, I guess a lot of
Victor and I will be there too. We'll probably do something related to grad school for those of you that are interested in circling things on brain scans.
Do autographs there too,
or lots of Western blots, isn't that what you do?
Yeah, I do a lot of Western blots.
He does a lot of Western blots. I've seen it.
Do you guys want to hear about that?
Yeah. What is Western blots?
Oh, do you want me to talk about Western
yes.
blots? Okay.
Yes.
This is I feel like I'm practicing for my thesis defense. No,
this is a really good opportunity. We have potentially 2 million listeners out there.
Is it possible to give? Is it possible to do a 5-minute outline of Western blots?
Okay, do you want to hear it for 5 minutes? Oh God, I don't even want to hear about Western blots for 5 minutes.
Oh, okay. So I see. It might be more.
It's an immunoblotting technique, which is basically you take proteins from cells and then, or anything, and then if you want to tag for a specific marker, you tag it with this antibody that is specific for what kind
okay
of
so you take
protein?
A cell and you break it and then you spin it around really fast and then you load it into little slits in this polyacrylamide gel, which is you're getting way too
I was trying to make
and you
it
run electricity through
the
it and
humans.
They okay fine well
basically it tells me. For my project, it tells me the amount of oxidative stress in the cell due to stress hormones like cortisol, corticosterone. So I look at cellular effects of too much stress. So what we found is if you have too much stress, your cells get oxidatively stressed, your mitochondria don't work as well, then you have all this neuronal dysfunction and you can't think and fail school and everything.
It's kind of perfect for university life, I guess.
You know what we were going to talk about too is why mental health is important for university kids.
Yeah, that's right. And we were also going to talk about maybe some resources that are on campus that you can access for more information, or I guess
okay. Andy, do you want to know why mental health is important for university people?
Of course.
Okay,
of course.
So the first thing is that university is a very stressful transitional period in many young adults' life. So there's a transition of a lot of people moving away from home. There's a lot of people switching out of high school, going into university right away. There's adjusting to big campus people with grown-up adults. There's a lot of stresses with you know, picking a career and figuring out what your future is going to be and what you're going to do with the rest of life, and if you're going to make enough money to buy yourself a house and a car and
3.2 children and the luxury sedan. I know, yeah.
Yeah, all that stuff. Also, mental illness, many of the major mental illnesses begin
around this time,
prevalent,
yeah.
Prevalent around the early 20s age group. So the average onset of things like bipolar disorder and schizophrenia is around like 20, 21, 22. So it's apparently high risk population. A lot of smart people are trying to figure out why that is, but either way it is, and it's important.
Yeah, definitely. And so we have this new thing that's pretty exciting. And
oh, also, you know what they always say too in a lot of these mental health events is that healthy minds leads to healthy GPAs. So, you know, if you're stressed out and depressed and you're like withdrawing and not able to study or anything, you're gonna suffer in your grades and your involvement on campus. And I mean, all of us came to UBC for good reasons and good intentions.
The university experience.
Yeah, the university experience and do good. And, you know, we all got our A's in high school and we want to continue getting those in university. But,
I wanted the college football sweater, but I haven't got that yet, unfortunately.
Really? After all these years?
Yeah, I know. After I've been here way too long.
You should work on that.
Yeah, I know.
Okay, so next we should talk about our 1 in 5 campaign.
Yeah, let's do that. So 1 in 5 is the tagline. And Victor, would you like to explain what 1 in 5 is?
Okay, so 1 in 5 is our big advocacy awareness campaign that we're trying to roll out. We've been pushing it to get out there this year, and it's going to be ongoing. But essentially, it speaks to the prevalence of mental illness, which is 1 in 5 Canadians will be diagnosable by some sort of mental illness at some point in their lives. So it just kind of...
And interesting enough, you have a better chance of having some sort of diagnosis.
Oh, yeah. So I was at Tim Hortons the other day, and their big tagline is 1 in 6 chances of winning.
Roll up to win.
Yeah, to roll up. Yeah, to roll up the rim to win. And then I texted Cassie, and I was like, I have a better chance of getting a mental illness and winning this thing. And it's kind of true, because I've played like 10 times this year, and I've only won once. I don't think that's a real stat.
Yeah,
I don't.
Who knows?
It's a hoax.
Marketing campaign.
They don't actually give out those Priuses.
Don't eat at Tim Hortons. Don't drink your coffee. We don't endorse them at all.
He does have Starbucks right in front of him. Right
yeah,
now,
so. Starbucks is... They're more humane. They fair trade coffee
and they're not Canadian. Yeah. We want to really just push that.
They don't do any contests because they don't even need to. They have like all these followers like every morning. They don't need it.
Yeah.
Tim Hortons is just trying too hard. That's what I think.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyways, so back to 1 in 5.
We're not funny. I know this.
Oh yeah.
I admit this.
Anyway, so 1 in 5.
Yeah. So the 1 in 5 campaign. Yeah, we're hoping to put out educational material just to get people knowledgeable about the stats and, you know, the rates of mental illness and how to watch out for it and things like that.
Yeah, it's like those things on the bus, like the bus you read, and it's like, you know, do you have depression? And you kind of check off the list sort of thing. And like, yeah. Oh no, like I do. But it's yeah.
I saw that and it's like, if you have these signs, sign up for this clinical trial for like this drug or something.
Yeah, yeah, sign up for this clinical trial for this drug.
You paid to take these drugs if you like feel sad.
Yeah, well, our campaign's more about just sort of like getting it out on campus, but we were planning on maybe putting on as big as a sun run, but like some sort of run through campus.
But
hey,
don't
baton.
Put ourselves down. This could be as big as a sun run. You gotta aim high, right?
Yeah,
I don't know.
Yeah, but we do have lots of T-shirts, and so that's. You know, and lots of promotional swag for the 1 in 5 event.
The idea is our t-shirts are green, so everybody there will be wearing the green t-shirts, and it'll just be like a mob of green.
Yeah. Green, for those of you that don't know, is the color that is most associated with calmness and nature.
Okay. Yeah, green. It's a good color. We love green here.
Yeah, we certainly do. Yeah.
Anywho. Green.
So... How would somebody, if they're interested in getting involved with your group, would they go about that? You guys have volunteer opportunities?
We do. I mean, we have a website. It's best if you just honestly Google UBC Mental Health Awareness Club. And I guess for those of you that haven't, like we didn't really clarify at the beginning, MHAC is the acronym for Mental Health Awareness Club.
So when we say MHAC, it's just...
It's us. Yeah.
So Google Mental Health Awareness Club...
And yeah, the website.
You can email us at ubcmhack@gmail.com.
Yeah.
And you can Facebook us. Oh, yes. Facebook.com/ubcmhack. I've been trying to push this for a while, is that we need people to like our page.
Yeah. I think we have a Twitter account, too, but...
Yeah, for those Twitter birds out there.
Yeah, who want to follow. Or
follow us.
Hashtag or whatever.
#UBCMHack.
Yeah. but yeah, so people that want to get involved, you can also come to Bevel Up, the documentary night that we're holding this Wednesday.
Or come to our careers night.
Oh yeah, or the careers in mental health. You can also come. When is that again? What's the date of that?
21st. Tuesday.
Next Wednesday.
Next Wednesday.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, we like Wednesdays. It's good middle of the week kind of break up or something. But yeah, so yeah, come to Bevel Up though. This is going to be really awesome, and I'm actually really personally excited about it. And even if you aren't really like convinced this is something you want to do, you can at least come for the free food and hang out with me.
And what was that movie about again?
Oh, okay, so it's a documentary, 45-minute documentary about drug use and outreach nursing in the downtown East End of our hometown, Vancouver. So, should be really good. And yeah, there's going to be some, after the 45-minute movie's over, we're going to have some special feature stuff at the end. And if you want to stay, maybe some discussion going. But yeah, feel free to eat your finger sandwich and take off too. But yeah, just come down.
Is that what we're having?
I don't know yet, but okay. Maybe.
Yeah, we should talk about how you can get involved. So we've got volunteer opportunities to help us out with the 1 in 5 campaign. We're working on getting some fundraisers events going, so we'll need a lot of hands on deck for that. If you want to help volunteer to put up events for us, advertising promotions is a big one, just to get people out there.
Yeah. Get the word.
Get the word out.
Spread the word.
Oh, if you want to help us hand out highlighters,
yeah,
that'd be great. We need about like a dozen of you guys to do that because we have so many highlighters.
A dozen.
Yeah. A dozen people.
It's a great resume booster.
Yeah. For those of you who are trying to
get into med school.
Yeah. Hand out highlighters. Put that on.
Yeah, I'll be your personal reference for that.
You can say you.
Hopefully by the time I'll have my master's degree, so I might add some credibility to it.
Yeah, this person's important. All right, so...
Why don't you tell us about a little bit about the Kaleidoscope, Victor?
No, yes, I want to do this too because I'm involved in a bunch of mental health stuff on campus, and it's really exciting because I personally think that there's a big movement on campus just to get mental health out there, and a lot of people are realizing that mental health is important, that it... helps you with school, helps you stay sane, helps you...
Everything.
So a lot of student-run mental health organizations are popping up on campus just within the recent years. So, for example, our club's only the last 3 years. I'm also part of the Kaleidoscope, which is a peer-to-peer mental health support group on campus, and we're just a couple of years old, but basically we meet once a week, and it's just your, traditional support group where people... that have been afflicted with mental illness or addictions come, and you can get support, you can get information or recommendations or resources from us or
it's completely student peer run, so
yeah, so it's cool because it's completely run by students and mm-hmm. it's peer to peer and you get a lot of good peer recommendations and just
that's right. Yeah,
people that saying what worked, what didn't work.
People on the battlefield kind of thing.
Yeah, but talking about their experiences and stuff like that. And it's just really good because, a lot of people that are struggling with mental health stuff, it's pretty stigmatizing, it's pretty isolating. And, you just want to hear somebody else that's gone through the same thing, maybe a year before you that's, figured out how to navigate the healthcare system in general or... the healthcare resources on campus, how to access mental health professionals and stuff like that. So we meet once a week. Right now it's Tuesdays. And you can, Tuesdays 4 to 5, or you can check our website at the dash, what is that middle dash? That line?
I think just dash.
Dash.
The dash kaleidoscope. com, or just search up the Kaleidoscope on Google. Just Google.
I don't even know how to spell Kaleidoscope, and God, there's been some really bad attempts at that. So yeah, just Google it, and it'll even give you the correct spelling. And
we're on all the student health services websites and stuff like that.
That's right. Yeah, and another thing that's pretty cool is this positive space campaign that's going on campus. Well, I think it's broader than campus, actually, but you can also look into that. It's there's seminars on how to create a safe environment for sharing, and it's got a bit of an emphasis on marginalized, like, minorities, especially with, like, in the realm of sexuality, so sexuality minorities, I suppose. But it's really great, and that's super worth into checking out if you're interested in having kind of a crash course in how to create a positive, safe space for somebody who's might be distressed or wants to share with you.
Mm-hmm. Cassie just did that, so if you want to ask her about it.
That's right, yeah, text me. Actually, no one's texted us yet about our calling contest. Maybe we should.
What is that number again?
Okay, so we're having this text in contest for an MHAC package. It's you get a 1 in 5 T-shirt, green, the color associated most with calm and nature. You also get a bookmark. Like the last people that were on here. I'm sure they are very familiar with calmness and being in nature.
Do you think looking at birds makes you feel calm?
Probably.
Okay.
I don't know.
Anyway, I think you were saying something. Sorry.
Right. Anyways, yeah, so text the number for a MHAC package. The number is 778-558-0088. And at this rate, I think anyone that texts me will probably get a package.
This is real. I kind of feel bad because I was like laughing before when I was saying it. It's not a joke. We'll actually give it to you.
Yeah, no. We will send it to you in the mail. Text me with your name and address.
That was just my nervous humor coming out.
Yeah, I guess. Have you ever been on the radio?
No, I haven't.
Oh. Yeah, I was thinking to myself, like...
Could you tell that I had never been?
Not at all. Like, I was thinking, you know, like, was there ever a time I was on the radio? And I don't think so, but there, you know, is some very good research on confabulating false memories, and they've done studies on this apparently where they sort of crudely Photoshop like a picture of you as a kid into like a hot air balloon, and then ask like, "Have you ever been in a hot air balloon?" And the person just is like, no. But then you show them the picture, like, "Here you are."
I remember those clouds. Yeah, that was a good day. It was like,
yeah, you
overcast.
See this like, and it's some in some cases it's pretty hilarious because like. Just the Photoshop jobs are atrocious, but yeah, it works. Like the
it's like your head on someone else's body. Yeah.
The person's just like, "Oh yeah, that time, yeah, man, that was a great day." Like at the fair, they make up a whole story, you know, background story of how you got there. Like one time, I was at like the P&E, and I don't know, do they do hot?
I don't know.
Moon rides
but there? Human memory is not infallible.
No.
So yeah, text in and do that. Okay, I want to talk about this, so before I forget.
Yeah, text in. Should I give the number one more time? Okay. 778-558-0088. Text me. I just gave it away. That's my number.
Can I also say that you guys have some very squeaky chairs here?
Yeah, it's definitely been an issue.
Is this the thing people say usually? Like, it's just...
I think you're just fidgety, maybe.
I am pretty fidgety, but, like, I can't even move, like, 1 centimeter. It's... Yeah, making me want to fidget more.
Yeah, there's some old equipment here. If you go into our lounge, we've got some 70s styled couches and lamps.
Really?
Nice. Yeah, I actually quite like this place. It's pretty neat.
No, it feels like there's a lot of history here. Like,
yeah.
How long have you guys been...
No idea what has happened in this studio.
What has happened? Can you tell us? Can we interview you now? Well, give us... Like, when did this start?
When did the station start?
Yeah.
It's been around for decades. I've only been around here volunteering for about a year.
He's Wikipediaing this right now. You guys can't even see.
Decades.
He's like,
decades.
He's Googling. When did we start?
Yeah, no, been around for a long time, though.
Yeah.
But this is the first ever 24-hour student day.
Really?
And you guys are only the second group on. So
we're second? Bird people, come on.
Yeah, very... Very special.
How is this working?
Like first this, annual? Like we should, for,
yeah,
should
we
do this annually?
We're hoping to do this every year.
Can we be here next year too?
Absolutely. You should get on.
Yeah, don't know.
Ratings spike after this, you should let us back on. Like you should give us our own show, that's what I think.
Oh god, Victor.
Are you gonna be here next year? We could take your
I probably won't be here next year.
Well, there
but
you go.
Somebody will be here.
Are you graduating?
I'm actually don't know if we need to get into this, but I'm going to Germany next year.
Wow. Yeah. No way. Where? Yeah.
Berlin.
Nice.
Yeah. That's should be exciting.
That's awesome.
Can we go?
Yeah. Can we go?
You guys got important work to do here.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's right. Sorry, back to mental health.
Okay, so this thing is important for involvement, too. So a couple of years ago, we set up the UBC Mental Health Network, and this is us getting... Well, we kind of realized that a lot of mental health stuff was popping up on campus, and there wasn't a lot of knowledge or awareness of each other, even. And so we were doing a lot of overlapping things with making resources and awareness campaigns and stuff like that. So we decided to form this network of mental health clubs on campus just so that we could collaborate and network and cross-promote each other's events more efficiently and just get ourselves out there. And since then, it's kind of blown up, and we've got like at least like a dozen different groups. And what the coolest thing about it is we're starting to get reps from clubs that aren't necessarily mental health associated. So we got people from like yoga club or SUS or Arts Undergraduate Society and stuff like that. So what the idea of that is that these people are interested in mental health for the student populations that they take care of or that they represent, right? So for example, the Arts Undergraduate Society has like a wellness coordinator that comes in because she does wellness for art students. So anyway, what's happened is that this network has grown, and we meet once a month, and we just basically talk about our wellness and health wellness and mental health wellness sort of campaigns and ideas and events, and we tell each other about them, and we promote each other's events, and we kind of collaborate on bigger campus-wide initiatives if we feel so inclined. And so for involvement of that, we've been calling out for anybody that's kind of a student leader in their own population. So if you come, you can represent like your department or your faculty or your kind of club if you're interested in, you know, finding out about mental health resources for your...
Yeah, I suppose like the sort of take-home message we're trying to drive here is that all of these resources are kind of intertwined in you know, one way or another. And if you access the Mental Health Network, you will have everything kind of at your fingertips. Mm-hmm. There's also Live Well, Learn Well. It's a UBC website.
Yeah, it's like this web portal they put up like a year ago. But
that's
like
right, yeah.
Health and stuff like that.
Yeah,
and they
yeah.
just wanted to put all health services, like, you know, both physical and mental health on campus. And then you can find out how to make an appointment with like a counselor or a physician or whatever you need. And then there's like blogs and articles about mental wellness and stuff like that.
Yeah, that's right. And another one that's maybe a little off topic, but kind of on the same stream is that, what about Galerie Yaché? Like that, there's tons of volunteer opportunities down there. And what it is it's an art outreach, sort of an outreach organization that uses art therapy to, sort of, yeah, they use art therapy, I guess. And
they teach people that have dealt mental illness.
That's right, yeah.
Use art as sort of like an yeah. outlet, both in like...
Precisely, yeah. Like
personal and recovery process and stuff like
that. Yeah, that's right. And they need volunteers. They have a volunteer orientation once a week. Or sorry, once a month on, I believe, a Thursday.
Guess is involuntary there too, so
yeah, that's right. Yeah,
there's a lot of opportunities to meet her if you want.
You can text me. Actually, we got a text, although the person didn't include their name, so all they said was hi.
Well, you have caller ID. We'll just call that person back.
Anyways, so for the person that did text me, hi, I need your name and your address, and we'll send you a MHAC package with a shirt of your size. Include your shirt size in there too. So, yeah.
Well, that sounds pretty great. We're coming up on 9 o'clock. So
yeah.
I don't know if you guys had any other summarizing statements, anything you wanted to get out there.
So thank you for listening. And once again, big shout out to Cubicle 9.
Cubicle 9
at
represent.
The BC Mental Health and Addictions Research Institute.
Thank you to Andy for having us.
Yeah, oh, thank yeah, you. Thank you.
And we should talk. Okay, so we're the Mental Health Awareness Club. One more time at UBC. Google us, Facebook us, email us at UBCMHAC.
Follow us on Twitter.
gmail.com. Follow us on Twitter, the Twitterverse. We'd love to have you. We're hosting events all the time. Come to our movie night this Wednesday or come to our Mental Health Careers Night next Wednesday. And yeah.
And one more time, so the movie night's this Wednesday at 5 o'clock in the Dodson Room of Irvin K. Barber. It's that beautiful, beautiful, high-ceilinged, chandelier-clad room behind the computers.
Okay.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It's a good room.
All right, well, thanks, guys, and...
Can we play in a song request?
Oh, yeah, definitely. What do you guys want to hear?
Tangerine Speedo.
Tangerine Speedo. All right, you got to give me some time to look it up.
Okay.
What is that song?
It's the first thing that came to mind.
Did you make that up? Is that
Did
a real song?
Did we just make that up?
No. It's a real song.
There we go. All right.
I feel like it's just a good one.
So this is the MHAC theme song.
Yeah, this is MHAC.
All right, we're about to hear it here.
UBC Mental Health Awareness Club.
Is it by Caviar?
That's right.
That's the right one? All right. Anyway, thanks a lot for you guys for coming in. And this is Tangerine Speedo, a request from...
Victor.
And Cassie.
From...
The Mental Health Awareness Club, UBC.
Woo.
Over and out. Thanks.
Awesome.
Give me a towel, Mr. Tangerine Speedo. You're all over town, Tangerine La 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 La. The talk of the town, Mr. Tangerine Speedo. How you get around in your tangerine, la 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 la. Little Latin love is a lovely drinking gin and mellow yellow in my bungalow. Loving me in tangerine, la 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 la.
Chama la, chama la, chama la.
All the French girls go zootalo, no, 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 zootalo, no, no. Coming at the target, you're as straight as Magellan. If you got a secret weapon, roll, you sure as hell ain't telling. Cause your mouth made an offer that their bodies cannot veto. No woman can resist a man who looks good in a Speedo. Fucking get me a towel, Mr. Tangerine Speedo. You're all over town, Tangerine La 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 La. Talk of the town, Mr. Tangerine Speedo. How you get around in your Tangerine La 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 La.
Any UBC student knows that the year begins optimistically.
In your arms tonight.
But by the end of it, you're ready for a little. Any smart UBC student will therefore know that it's best to get your tickets early to the annual AMS Block Party, featuring Mother Mother, Masterpack, DJ Headspin, The Boom Booms, and more, Thursday, April 5th on the McInnes Field. Your AMS brings you the fifth year of music, partying, and hopefully some sunshine. Early bird tickets available at the Outpost until March 9th, and general tickets available thereafter. For more info, search for the AMS Block Party on Facebook. The fifth annual AMS Block Party is proudly sponsored by CITR. CITR is proud to present Cab Calloway, Ray Charles, Aretha Franklin, and guests live at the Norm Theater. Okay, maybe not live, but nonetheless, it's a Blues Brothers beer garden, and it's going down March 16th in the Norm Theater in the Sub. Join Jake and Elwood Blues on their mission from God March 16th with CITR DJ spinning and cheap beer flowing.
It's 106 miles to Chicago. We got a full tank of gas, half a pack of cigarettes. It's dark, and we're wearing sunglasses. Hit it.
All right, welcome back. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. My name is Andy Resto. And over the last hour, you have been hearing presentations by the UBC Birding Club, and you just heard the Mental Health Awareness Club from UBC, because this is the first annual 24 Hours of Student Power. And all day, we're going to have a bunch of different groups from around campus, 100% student programming here on the station. And right now, our next group is called Power to Change. And I'm going to turn it over to them right now. They're going to do some introduction, and we'll go from there. So it's over to you guys.
Hi, guys. I'm Jerry.
Hey, I'm Alan.
I'm a third-year poli-sci student with the group Power to Change.
And I'm a second-year LFS food market analysis student.
And so I guess just to talk a little bit about group Power Change, I think one thing I see at UBC is that we address physical and academic needs, or preparing students to become successful in their career and such. But one aspect that I see less addressed are spiritual needs. And I think especially for me, I'm in poli-sci, and I see very ambitious and determined students at UBC who are seeking to bring change in this world. And as a club, we believe that developing holistic students who are finding their spiritual needs met will actually inform them to make decisions and ultimately be able to bring change in this world. And I think, every day we're rubbing shoulders with so many people, but it's not often that we get to have deeper, more meaningful conversations with people on topics like purpose, our dreams, our ambitions, and even meaning. And so we believe that our world views and beliefs actually inform the way we make decisions and affect the way we bring change in the world. I think of people like Gandhi or Hitler, who are so influential, influencing masses of people in very significant ways, yet their passions and desires led them to totally different types of change in our world. And we see that many movements around the world actually started right at the university campuses. And so, being here at UBC, we want to ask students, what is the legacy we want to leave for future generations, and how do we plan to bring that about? Yeah, so for you, Andy, could we ask a couple of questions that sometimes we ask students?
Yeah, absolutely.
So one thing is, what are some things, personally, that you would want to see change on our campus?
Yeah, I think what you were mentioning at the beginning there about how we kind of come to campus every day and walk around and we see, hundreds of people. We go to our classes, mm-hmm. and there's some that could get up to 100 people in them. And I feel sometimes that you can go hours without even speaking to anybody, without mm-hmm. making eye contact when you're walking down the street, when you don't seem to really know anybody. You get a group of five or six friends, and then that's it, and it doesn't go anywhere from there.
Mm-hmm.
So, kind of similar to the thing we're doing around here today of just kind of getting everyone together as, all of these different kinds of groups from all over the place, and just kind of having that contact with people,
mm-hmm.
which I think is absent sometimes.
Mm.
Mm-hmm.
It's more communication between people.
Yeah, mm-hmm. absolutely. Yeah,
mm-hmm. I think it even fosters that student community, because I know this program is called Student Power.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. So actually, what is the idea behind the title?
The title came up a bit... Out of the blue, I guess we were just thinking about it, and someone kind of just mentioned it. I just think it ended up fitting, against we didn't really think of it as what it's saying, but then when you look at it, the title Student Power, it really, I think, represents what we're doing of just kind of showing who this campus is for, I guess. Mm-hmm. Sometimes it seems to be, you know, you forget that what is running the university are the students, not, you know, the presidents of mm-hmm. the professors. It's all geared towards the students. Yeah. And I think mm-hmm. that's what today is supposed to sponsor here at the station.
Mm-hmm. So it's about bringing kind of, yeah, emphasis back to students, I guess?
Yeah, absolutely.
Mm. I guess even in a bigger picture, like, what is change that you'd like to see in this world?
In the world, I think, that is a loaded question. But I think everything comes down to, you know, having that communication and understanding with each other. Mm. You know, you look at so many of the problems in the world are just because of different ideologies. Mm. And it's, when it really gets down to it, it's something so minimal, but mm-hmm. it just gets blown out of proportion.
It's true.
And yeah, and that's, as far as the steps to go about that, that's something that people have been working towards for a long time, and mm-hmm. hopefully we continue to work for it, but it's a difficult process, right?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. But for you personally, what do you believe is the power to change these things?
I think it comes down to everybody personally. I think sometimes we get caught up in trying to turn things over to some sort of governing power to dictate things for us as a group, when if you really start with yourself and look at yourself and what do you do day to day, then there are little things you can start changing, and then the people around you are affected by that, and then it grows and grows. But I think it has to start with each of us personally, mm-hmm. rather than looking for, oh, they say that's okay, or, you know, they say I can't do this, so I'm not going to.
Have you heard about Kony 2012, Andy?
I don't think so.
Yeah, there's this campaign going viral online. It's called Kony 2012. Basically, it's started by a filmmaker, and he runs a nonprofit organization called Invisible Children, and it's based in Uganda, and Kony is the last name of the leader of the LRA.
LRA.
Sorry, I forgot Liberal...
Lord's Resistance Army.
Lord's Resistance Army, and so they are a rebel group, I guess, that started in Uganda. And Kony recruits, or I guess he actually kidnaps young children to become child soldiers. And so, I don't know, well, you're just talking about individual change and kind of bringing about that movement. And so, yeah, I don't know, Kony 2012 just came to mind because I think it's a movement that's kind of going viral online. A lot of people are talking about it on, like, Twitter and Facebook, mm-hmm. and I've just gotten a lot of shares. That's how I found about it online. And so... I don't know. Do you have any thoughts on that, Alan?
So you haven't heard about the Kony 2012 campaign?
No, I haven't.
Oh, okay.
Seen anything on it?
I think it really relates to how we were talking about change in the world and different ideologies. Kony probably. His intent, I can't say his intention, what his intentions are, but he wanted to bring change in the world, and it kind of touches on how Jerry was saying how different passions and desires lead to different types of change, I think.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I guess one thing that we want to ask students is, like, you know, there's so many causes that we can be about, just like you're saying, like, it's kind of a loaded question when I ask, what kind of change you want to see in the world? Because there's so many things we can be about, and we see that, yeah, there clearly are problems in this world, but there's so many different causes. And, yeah, you're right, like, there's people see different ways in which we can bring about that change, and you touched on a point of starting at the individual level, which I totally agree with. I guess one question I would ask is, like, how would you see spirituality playing a role in seeing that change happen, if it does at all?
I think at times that'll play the pivotal role. I think for almost, you can probably say if you look around the world, the majority of people, their main motivating factor is their spirituality and whatever faith they have, faith in God or faith in anything else, right? Mm-hmm. And I think that if you look at, you know, the largest events of history have many times been driven by that kind of a desire, just not necessarily acting upon your own rationality or what seems, what would be the safe thing to do, but rather just, you know, making that leap of faith and going for it.
Mm-mm. I feel like you're quoting from Inception, taking that leap of faith.
So how about your guys' group, Power to Change? You guys have events going on at all around campus, or how someone can get involved with your group?
Mm-hmm. And you want to talk about an event coming up?
Actually, we do have an event coming up next Thursday. It's called I Crave Freedom, and it's on the issues about human trafficking and sexual exploitation. We're going to have two speakers come in. One's called Tanaya, and she's a formal brothel owner, and she married into an international organized crime family, actually. But a whole lot has happened to her ever since, and she's coming out to talk about how she experienced change and from her past experience in the sex industry. Another guy is called Brian, and he's the founder of Rajnak International, which is a group that helps rescue women and children in Cambodia that are in sexual exploitation. And yeah, I think it'll be an interesting event to come to. The topics are really, really, really relevant to our many problems today in the world. And it's on next Thursday, 5 p.m. in Wood 1.
In Woodward Building?
Woodward 1,
oh,
yeah.
Okay, great. Sounds,
you're invited to.
that sounds fascinating. And if someone wanted to get involved with you guys' group, do you guys have a website or Facebook? Or?
Yeah, we do. We have a Facebook page. It's Power to Change, University of British Columbia. Yeah. And so Power to Change, it's a larger nonprofit organization that runs across Canada. And we just happen to be the Power Change at UBC campus.
Okay.
Yeah. And so actually I'm really looking forward to the event because I've met Tanaya before, and she has a very a heartbreaking but inspiring story. Because she herself was prostituted, and being in that industry, she began to own several brothels.
Mm-hmm.
But for her, yeah, I mean, her story, part of it is she encountered God, and she went through individual personal transformation. As a consequence, she is now an advocate of abolishing sexual slavery. And so she's quite opinionated, but I do enjoy hearing her opinion, and I think it's very real because she's experienced it personally herself as someone who was prostituted, but also coming from someone who began to prostitute other women. And so, yeah, she has a very interesting story.
All right, so do you guys have any summarizing statements you wanted to make? You wanted to discuss anything else?
Anything? I guess we just want to leave with students that, yeah, we're Power to Change, and for us, we think that spiritual ideas have a role in bringing change in this world, and we hope students that will consider that and think about it. I think there's so many ways, like going to political level, non-government level, and individual level, and so... Yeah.
Is there any place on campus that students can go to hear about you guys or to meet with you guys?
I was going to talk about that, actually.
Okay, great.
Yeah. So we meet every Thursday, 5 p.m., and we meet at HEB 13.
Okay.
Yeah. So, that's not HEB Theater, but HEB 13. I got lost my first time there. So, come out if you have time.
And what goes on there? You guys just have discussions
Jerry?
Yeah, we hold different events. For example, this month, because last Thursday is actually International Women's Day. I know you guys ran a special.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And so we just saw a lot of events we're holding, a lot of other groups like Amnesty International and stuff, holding events on the topic of human trafficking and sexual exploitation. And so we want to engage the campus in these areas that are relevant. And so we happen to be holding an event this month on that area. In the past, a couple months ago, we ran a video campaign called 1 Minute of Fame. And so, yeah, the idea behind the campaign is we give you 1 minute to say whatever you want along the lines of we give you 5 topics and you have to finish the sentence. So I could even do it with you, Andy. So if I to play a word association game with you and you finish the end of the sentence, if I said, I am
a student.
I'm alive.
Pass. We'll go back to that one.
Love is
what you make it.
God is
who you feel.
I think that's it. Then there's the I'm alive one.
I'm alive. What is your answer to that? I don't know.
A lot of people did I'm alive because, but
yeah, yeah,
well, I'm alive when.
What, yeah.
Or I'm alive when. Yeah, that's a good one.
Yeah, I don't. I was thinking of it because for some reason the thing that's sticking in my mind is because I'm lucky. But that's a really strange answer. Definitely something to think about though. Mull over.
And so as Power to Change, we just like to throw these type of questions at students.
Yeah.
And Jerry was mentioning this 1 minute of fame campaign. And what we did was that we gave students 1 minute to answer these questions, post videos however they wanted. They could be talking, just answering these questions, or sing a song or dance, you know, whatever. Just help students to actually give them a platform to express their ideas about these topics. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And happened the winner of the video wins an iPad, and so that was it's another incentive. That happened 2 months ago.
Yeah,
great.
Yeah,
sounds interesting. All right, well, thanks a lot, guys, for coming in. That was really interesting. And if you had anything else you wanted to say, go ahead, sign off. You wanted.
Well, thank you for having us, Andy.
Yeah,
thanks for having us.
Yeah, that was great. All right, so we will be back right after this, and that was UBC Power to Change. You're listening to CITR 101.9 FM. This is the 24 Hours of Student Power.
Become a friend of CITR and get great discounts in the Commercial Drive area at Audio Pile, Bone Rattle Music, High Life Records, and the People's Co-op Bookstore.
It pays to be a friend of CITR. To learn more, come visit us in room 233 of the sub on UBC campus or check us out online at citr.ca.
Do you want to make the right impression during your big interview? Arts Co-op would like to help. The ultimate package from the Arts Co-op student